Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But right now, we want to turn to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline, and we turn to our good friend. It's not news until Tom Withers says so from the Associated Press, and now he'll say so. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
Oh, we're good. We're kicking around a bunch of stories this morning, and one, I want to have you hop in.
I know the feeling.
You were the king of kicking around a bunch of stories. So, all right, let's start with this one just because we've been kind of contemplating it because of all the smoke. Are you buying any of this Peyton Manning stuff that's kind of rumorville and just kind of it's kind of fun, and I think fans want it. No one wants to say, oh, that can't be true.
Right. This is the annual Bill Cowher kind of sweepstakes, isn't it?
Right, yes.
Isn't this what we go through all the time where – we hear about houses being purchased in Strongsville and all those kinds of things. But, yeah, I mean, there's an obvious connection here between the Haslams and Peyton. What I've been trying to find out, especially through some of my colleagues out in the Denver area, is to gauge Peyton's real interest here. You know, obviously the guy's got a lot of irons in the fire all the time, whether it's doing, you know, sales pitches for just about everything under the sun or his other interests. So, it's just a matter, I think, of whether or not he wants to jump in, you know, right away here. Well, not right away. He's had a little bit of time off. But, you know, and obviously the Tennessee connection is very real. Obviously, there's a very real need for somebody to come in here and to either oversee what's going on now or completely start anew. So, I buy a lot of it, guys.
Tom, the thing about it that's really interesting to me, first of all, instant credibility for the organization.
For sure.
But the second part of this is there's no way he takes this job unless he thinks he can flourish in this job. Because he has so much on the line here because his reputation is pretty stellar.
Well, and I don't think that would be exclusive to Peyton Manning either, Jeff. I think anybody who would want to come in here and either, like I said, you know, start this from scratch or build on what they have here now is going to want autonomy. They're going to want to have control. I think that's been one of the bigger problems that we've had here over the last decade plus is that there's been this power struggle. But if you put somebody in charge and put the crown on his head, then everybody's got to fall in line.
Tom, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about 0-16. Tayshawn Gibson brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, I look back at last Sunday's game, and I think Browns fans walked out of that going, I don't know if they're going to go 0-16. Now, granted, I think you have to put some perspective on the game knowing the Browns had an extra week off and they were coming off a Monday night.
Right.
But I think there's a little sense of, okay, I don't think maybe this is going to be as horrible as it could be at 0-16.
I totally agree, Andy. In fact, I felt that way the last three games for them. You know, they come off the overtime loss, then they go to London and actually played, you know, pretty well against a very good team in my mind for good stretches of that game. And then, yeah, I thought there was a lot to be gained from last week. You know, they got out to the early lead. I kind of wish, and I know this is easy to say as I'm not coaching the team and I'm not on that sideline, I wish they had been a little more aggressive up 10 to nothing because I think that they could have even stretched that out a little bit more. But then, you know, obviously we had the debacle at the end of the first half, which didn't help. And then, you know, the Duval turnover, which was just huge. But I'm with you, Andy. I think I've seen, you know, as small as they may be, I've seen baby steps and signs of progress the last 3 weeks, and I don't think this team is going to go 0-16. I've said, all, you know, before the season started, I had them winning three games. I still think they can get a couple.
See, I think part of that, too, is the game plans just seem to be a little bit more conducive for a really young quarterback.
Right.
Going with some high-percentage plays, trying to run the ball a little bit more, even though you said yesterday he wishes they would have ran the ball more. And it's just, I just feel like the game plan just feels a little bit smarter for him than trying to have him force it down the field.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty organic too, Andy. I think they've come to realize what DeShone Kizer's strengths and weaknesses are, and I think it takes a half a season to kind of figure that out. And it's also, you know, let's not forget that this receiving core has not exactly been exemplary to this point, right? I thought they played a little bit better last week. Obviously, they get Corey Coleman back this week. I thought last week as well was, you know, the idea to continue to run the ball and pound the rock was major. And I thought Crow ran as well as we've seen him all year. And I still wish, and I beat this drum every week, I still wish Duke Johnson would get more touches because in my mind, he is still the most dynamic playmaker they have.
Agreed completely. I found it weird, Tom, and I find everything Hugh does about the running game weird. He came out and they ran the ball for 200 yards basically in the first three quarters and then ran the ball one time in the fourth quarter. And he said, we're trying to catch up. Well, no, you really weren't. You know, you were down seven. You came out at halftime, you were down seven, and you ran the ball almost exclusively for two drives and went right down the field and scored twice.
I know what you're saying, Jeff, and I've been that way all year with him as well, where when I think they should run, they pass, and vice versa. You know, we have to remember, too, that Joe Thomas is not on the field anymore. You know, you have some young players, well, at least Sean Coleman, a young player, and Spencer Drango, a guy who's trying to step in for a Pro Bowler. So I think there are some reasons maybe why they run at times that they do, but I'm with you. I'm perplexed at times why the Browns, you know, go one way, and I think they're going to go the other.
All right, let's switch gears. And speaking of being perplexed, I watch the Cavaliers, and some nights I'm perplexed. Some nights I'm like, no problem. Last night, you give up 37 in the second, and then hold them to 17 in the third. It's bizarre. What's your take on the beginning of the season?
Yeah, you know, I didn't hit the panic button like a lot of people did when they were 3-4 or whatever it was, and I think there was some real growth on this road trip, guys. You know, and to me, a lot of this comes down to one guy, and you may laugh, but I look at J.R. Smith, and I feel like, as JR goes, so go the Cavs. And obviously, you know, LeBron is still going to do LeBron, and Korver has been magnificent in the fourth quarters. But, you know, last night I was just really focused in on JR in the third quarter, and I sent out a couple of tweets as I was watching because it just seemed like JR was just so much more engaged defensively than he has been almost all season. And I think he really took it upon himself last night to take the challenge. And there were times that he was on Kemba Walker, and there were times that they were switching, but I really felt like JR's intensity, and I likened it a little bit to what we used to see out of Dellavedova when he was here. When you have a guy out on the floor that is that committed, there's a trickle-down effect, and everybody starts to buy in defensively. And then you saw in the fourth quarter, I mean, Dwayne Wade made a couple of nice defensive plays. Channing Frye had a tip-out or two. You know, just having active hands in there and making things happen defensively. And, you know, I think it's a make-and-miss league, as we know, guys, and I think there's going to be nights where the Cavs shoot the lights out, and there's going to be nights where they struggle. But I think for the most part, considering that, you know, they had a tough loss in Houston without Tristan Thompson in there, they grab an offensive rebound, they may win that game. I think a 3-1 road trip, and I don't care who it's against in the NBA, is very successful.
Tom, I find a little comfort in looking at what's happened when LeBron's not on the floor when he's on the floor with bench guys. Yesterday, the Cavs outscored Charlotte 16-6 while LeBron was out, and they were down three. They end up 7 when he comes back into the game in the fourth quarter. And I love what Ty's doing in the fourth quarter, where significant playing time for guys like Korver, Wade, last night Channing Frye. You know, somebody could say, well, Kevin Love wasn't on the floor. Well, why would he be when Channing Frye's doing a great job? Then they brought Kevin back in. I just like the fact that Ty's actually using the bench and getting more out of his roster.
Well, and look at those guys that you just mentioned, Jeff, all, you know, veterans in this league that have been through plenty of experiences that are going to allow them to kind of figure the game out. I thought Dwayne Wade, in my mind, last night in the third quarter was a real calming influence on this team. And, you know, there are nights where he doesn't look like, you know, obviously he's 35 years old. There's nights where, you know, it looks like age has caught up to him a little bit, and other nights where he's got that extra gear. And I think, you know, there have been times in the past where we felt that way about LeBron, where, you know, you can tell nights when guys have their legs and when they don't. And I thought, you know, I thought Dwayne last night was really good for them. And I'm with you, Jeff. I think that group, and especially that veteran group, can come in and just kind of get things settled down. And even if that doesn't mean that they outscore the team while LeBron's sitting, as long as they can keep the game manageable until he can either get a, you know, he had foul trouble last night, but at least until he gets his breath and gets his legs under him, you know, I don't see these situations where the Cavs are then going to be outscored, you know, 14-4 or what have you.
Tom, I'm curious your reaction to the LeBron quote on Isaiah Thomas's return, but kind of a jab at Kyrie in New York when he said, it's been a while since I've had a clear-cut guy who can get guys involved but can score at the same time.
Yeah, you know, he's obviously taken a swipe there at his former teammate. You know, it's, you know, the master of the subtext and passive aggressiveness and all of that stuff. So I don't know. I've been trying to distance myself from, you know, interpreting every tweet and meme and everything else that LeBron does these days. You know, some of it's calculated. Some of it I think we should just pass on and just, you know, chalk it up to somebody trying to kill some downtime between games or whatever the case may be.
But it's all about the brand, right?
Yeah, no kidding. But as a whole, I think they've kind of, you know, survived, if you will, this bumpy start. And I think Tyronn Lue is starting to see, you know, what he hoped he would see earlier than 15 games in. But, you know, I think also people are going to kind of roll up. You know, the other thing, Jeff, and you know this better than anybody else, this season is – I mean, you think baseball season is long? Yeah. This season is so ridiculously long, it's unbelievable when you consider the leaves are still falling from the trees, and when games are really going to matter, it's almost going to be in the heat of summer. So we've got a long way to go here, boys.
All right, Tom, stay warm at the game on Sunday as well. So we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, he's Tom Withers from the Associated Press. And, of course, it's not news until Tom Withers says so.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.